Support for NPR podcasts comes from MasterCard, accepted worldwide. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Just who are the best living songwriters? That's the question Paste magazine put to a group of 50 writers and musicians. And how'd they do? Well, good enough to start a lot of fights.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you...
Well, Patti Smith, the great American poet and songwriter, on the list, but just barely. And Tom Petty, someone who's hardly written an original tune since his first album, and even that channeled the Byrds and Roger McGuinn. Petty's in the top 30. Ray Davies, or Ray Davies, as we Americans like to say, one of the best rock and roll storytellers of all time, 20 notches below Patty Griffin. I've got nothing against Patty Griffin, but without looking, try naming 10 great Patty Griffin tunes. Now rattle off 10 Kinks songs. Not so hard. Continents of songwriters never mentioned, not an African, not a Brazilian, though the Canadians sure did well. Think Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, but not Wynn Butler of the Arcade Fire. Paste magazine's cover story is one of those classic issues that gets you thinking about songwriting and how one song can touch your heart, stick in your head, and even change your life. Joining me at member station WABE in Atlanta, with his boxing gloves on, Josh Jackson. Josh is the Paste Josh is Paste magazine's editor. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. And in Nashville, home to a few of our top 100 songwriters, is someone well-practiced in the craft of writing songs, Mary Gaucher.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Mary, and WPLN, thank you. And here in Washington City, next to me is Bill Wyman. He's the co-creator of the best music talk show around, Sound Opinions, and NPR's arts editor. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me, Bob.
Josh Jackson, who were these 50 people who had the thankless task of putting together this list?
Well, we talked to music critics and musicians themselves and tried to get a little bit of a variety there. But one thing that we tasked them with was not to go for the most influential or the most popular, but really the ones that touch them personally. So we're getting a very personal list here, but it was folks like Cameron Crowe and Solomon Burke.
The 50 people, did they sort of hang out together at all, or were there, what, do you know of any office fights?
There were definitely office fights. We got most of the list via email, but as far as in the office, there were... There were some knockdown dragouts. I think one of our editors was just hoping and praying that Steely Dan would not make it anywhere on the list. I don't know what he has against those guys. But,
that's cold.
But, I thought it was pretty cold. And so you had people fighting both for artists and against artists, which was kind of funny to see.
Hey, Josh, can I ask a question? Because I really laugh at Patty Griffin as well. And is that's a true thing? You talked to 50 people and her name came up. It's a genuine vote.
That's a genuine vote, probably the most affected by a lot of people within the office voting. She's a staff favorite.
And I was in the elevator just coming down here, and I mentioned Patty Griffin to the person in the elevator, who's one of the editors here. She said I would put her in the top 10. So
yeah. She's a big NPR.
She was in my top 10.
That's right.
Yeah,
totally.
I think,
I like her too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. For me, you listen to a song like "Making Pies," which has so little to do with my situation in life. This is a song about, an older woman who's, wearing hairnets and working in a pie factory, and her, her lover died in the war years and years ago, and just a lonely old woman. And the song just touches me every time, and I think, wow, if somebody can do that with that kind of subject.
It's not far, I can't walk down the block to table talk. Close my eyes, make the pies all day. Plastic cap on my hair, I used to mind, now I don't care. I used to mind, now I don't care, 'cause I'm great. Did I show you this picture of my nephew taken at his big birthday surprise at my sister's house last Sunday? This is Monday and I'm making pies. I'm making pies. Making pies. Ah.
for those of you out there who haven't seen this list, let's just quickly go over a lay of the land to give you an idea who's on this list, see if your favorite artist is on here. I'm going to start with number 100, and we're going to count up to number one, and then we'll go play some music for you. T-Bone Burnett, Outkast, Jay Farrar, Josh Ritter, Jimmy Cliff, Patti Smith, Sam Phillips, Joseph Arthur, Alejandro Escovedo, Drive-By Truckers, Nick Cave.
89 is Victoria Williams. Then you have George Clinton in Parliament, Lyle Lovett, Sam Beam from Iron and Wine, David Bazan from Pedro the Lion, They Might Be Giants, Fleetwood Mac, John Darnielle from Mountain Goats, Flaming Lips, and Pink Floyd.
Then Stephen Malkmus, Robert Pollard, Bruce Coburn, Will Oldham, Bonnie the Prince Billy, huh?
Yeah.
76, that's pretty good. I'm happy for that. 75, Ron Sexsmith and Over the Rhine, Julie Miller, Michael Jackson, Vic Chestnut, Alex Chilton.
At 69 is Merle Haggard, Charles Thompson, a.k.a. Frank Black from the Pixies, Alan Toussaint, Connor Oberst, Bill Maloney, Vigilantes of Love, XTC's Andy Partridge, Richard Thompson, Sting, John Hyatt, Jimmy Webb.
Jack White is number 59, Sly Stone, Morrissey, James Brown, Dolly Parton, Amy Mann's 54, James Taylor, Paul Westerberg. 51 is Penn and Oldham. Can you, who's Penn and Oldham? See? They're an old songwriting team. Who is that?
I thought that's Will Oldham from...
No, it's not Will Oldham.
No, Spooner Oldham.
Spooner.
Dan Penn and Spooner Oldham.
That's what it is. Okay. Who wrote The Letter, yes?
Cry Like a Baby.
Cry Like a Baby, the other box.
Bingo.
Top song.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Sorry. Okay, Bill?
Oh, sure. And then you got Public Enemy at 50, Mr. Cat Stevens at 49, Gillian Relton, David Rawlings at 48, Sufjan at 47, David Byrne, Jackson Brown, Al Green, Ryan Adams, Ms. Loretta Lynn, Ray Davies, and Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
39, Led Zeppelin, then Christofferson, Smokey Robinson, Beck, Steve Earle, John Fogerty, Pete Townsend, Lieber Stoller. 31, Carol King. 30, John Prine.
29, Tom Petty, Robbie Robertson, the folks from Radiohead, R.E.M., Chuck Berry. At number 24 is Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. Elton and John, Bernie Taupin, Lucinda Williams at 22, Lou Reed, and Van Morrison.
Patty Griffith, number 19. 18 is U2, the team of Holland, Dozier, and Holland, the great Motown writers at 17, David Bowie, Willie Nelson, Stevie Wonder, Paul Simon's 13, Jagger Richards, you know them, they're at 12, and Randy Newman's at 11.
And I'm happy to finish it off. Prince at number 10, Joni Mitchell at number 9, Elvis Costello, Brian Wilson, I am shocked to say Leonard Cohen, Paul McCartney number 5, Tom Waits and Kathleen Brennan at number 4, coming in very high, Bruce Springsteen, Neil Young, and number 1, of course, Mr. Bob Dylan.
Okay, great. So I'd love to just go around the room or respective rooms and get from each of you, so listeners can get a feel of who we are and what speaks to us musically. Pick for me your favorite songwriter and pick one song for me. I'll start with Bill Wyman, who's sitting next to me in the room, and then you all can have a few minutes to think about it.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Bob, thanks a lot. You know, this is a very hard question, of course, because everyone, it's hard to listen to music in the last 50 years and not be affected by everyone on your top 10, on this top 10 list. There's Prince, there's Joni Mitchell, Elvis Costello, Brian Wilson. All of them have done songs that any person would say is among their favorite. So I want to stipulate that Bob Dylan has done a lot of really great songs, and Neil Young and Bruce. But I want to pick Paul Westerberg.
Huh. See, I wouldn't put him on my top 100, Bill.
It's kind of funny. I mean, there's a certain generation that was really affected by his songwriting. He was one of these guys who came out of the alternative movement and really showed that you could be a pantheonic songwriter and come out of that. And, of course, he comes out of the punk movement as well, and he sort of shows that...
Well, I mean, I didn't think he came out of the punk movement.
Well, he's a post-punk. Yeah. He comes out of the college rock post-punk years of the 80s and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he's done a lot of terrific songs. One of the ones I think is the most timeless is Left of the Dial, which is a very interesting song, and it's sort of a hymn to the community that created him, the college rock movement of the mid-1980s.
It's always at the left side of the radio.
Exactly, all the college radio stations, right? Yeah. NPR's there too, so he's talking about us as well, and it's a very, very touching thing. One of the reasons I want to talk about it is it brings up one of the issues with these songs, that there's a sort of continuum. There's a pure song of one man or woman sitting there with a guitar or a piano and singing a song for you, all the way to the end of the spectrum. Josh, as you mentioned in the pace list of a Led Zeppelin, does anyone ever cover Led Zeppelin songs? No, because they are Led Zeppelin songs. The songs are almost devices for the thunderous guitar and his caterwauling vocals and such. So this is somewhere in between, and the guitars matter a lot in this song. They're keening, and they're very sad and moaning. And he's singing the song about how great it is to drive around in a van, see your friends' band posters on telephone poles, and have all your buddies in your vans with you. But Paul Westberg, being a very smart guy, understands there's a lot of negative undercurrents with that. He's a very talented guy. The guys in the back of his van, as he probably knew, weren't going to make it, and indeed some of them aren't alive today, and few of them are in music. Well, I guess Tommy is. And even Paul Westerberg's career, because he never became the famous star that a lot of us thought he was going to become. So in that song, I hear both the joy of the moment and the kind of scariness of the future that I think really shows it's a good demonstration of his farsightedness and depth, I think.
Great. Let's give a listen to the Paul Westerberg song. It's called
Left of the Dial by The Replacements.
I'm going to listen to all the words to that. We're going to put the full versions of most of the songs we play today on the website, so don't get too angry when you only hear this amazing song for just a little bit, but I want to get to a lot of material.
Absolutely.
That's The Replacements. Mary Gaucher, what do you think of this list? And then go ahead and pick for me your favorite songwriter that's on this list and one song from that writer.
What do I think of this list? Well, you know what I think of this list? I think that this list is just a matter of opinion, and that at different phases of our lives, different songs and different songwriters have a different impact. So you could get a different list every time if you do it every week, depending on what different voters are going through emotionally. I think that the interesting thing for me is that so many of my favorites are indeed here. Usually I thought my taste was a little bit obscure, but I guess maybe a lot of the folks that they talk to have that same sort of taste. I enjoy so many of these writers that to pick one would be ridiculous.
Oh, but that's what these lists are about. They're about the ridiculous in many ways.
And it is so ridiculous. I you know what I like right now for what I'm going through personally is I'm on a Jimmy Webb spree. And listening to him sing some of those magic notes that he finds that I don't even know exist. You know, we're all working with the same scale, but he finds notes out of nowhere that I couldn't find it on my guitar, much less sing it. So songs like Galveston and Wichita Lineman, he just slays me with those because I just can't do that, you know. I can play some of these folk songs, but I wouldn't dare try to sing Wichita Lineman.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main roads, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wires. I can hear you through the wire. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Mary, that's such a great choice, though. He is just such a great guy. I've just been collecting a CD of about 20 versions of Wichita Lineman. And when you do that, the song just stays in your head for a week or two. So I've just been walking to work every day with that song in my head.
Where do those notes come from? That's a real singer's song. I mean, you've got to... I don't know. I don't consider myself one, and I wouldn't dare to play that song, to sing that song, but I can play it forever. I just love that song.
And Josh, for you, one song, one
artist. Well, I have to... agree with Mary that this list, I think, would change depending on what time of day you caught everybody.
Right.
And even my list, and putting together this list and hearing everybody's choices and listening to lots of music, my order of votes has probably changed since we did this a couple months ago. But I'm going to go with the other end of the spectrum. He wasn't my number one choice when I voted, but the more I listen to it, it's a younger guy, Sufjan Stevens. Hmm. There's really nobody right now that I'm probably listening to more. He is just an original voice, and when you do what I do and listen to music all day long, it's just so refreshing to hear an original voice and somebody doing something so different and beautiful and touching. And as far as a song goes, Kazimierz Pulaski Day, I think, was one of the best songs that's been written in the last few years.
And that's on the Illinois record.
Mm-hmm.
And Sufjan's been writing, trying to write the a CD for every state of the country. For those who don't know, he's only done two, and he keeps getting sidetracked. So I hope he lives to be very old. Let's listen to Sufjan Stevens.
Goldenrod and the 4-H stone, the things I brought you when I found out you had cancer of the bone. Your father cried on the telephone, and he drove his car into the Navy Yard just to prove that he was sorry. In the morning, window shade, when the light pressed up against your shoulder blade, I could see what you were reading.
The man gives me chills.
That's a great song. That's a great choice, Josh. Hey, Bob, you're sitting here. We all committed. It's time.
Do I have
your
to
turn.
Do this? Yeah. See, I thought I could sit here and just ask.
Yeah, I've been through this before. I know the tricks.
Well, always through my life, the songwriting team of Lennon McCartney, I mean, who wouldn't love them? And since this is Living Songwriters, I'm down to Paul. And one of the early Beatles songs that really did it for me, holding the 45 in my hand and playing it over and over again, was the song We Can Work It Out. It's not a huge change from what they were doing in 1964, and now it's only 1965. But there was something about the optimism that was in this song that and my age at the time, it just got me. And the harmonies are amazing, and I don't know if it's like a pump organ or something in the background, which is just a cool song. So that would be my choice.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend.
Great song. Great mm-hmm. song. Can I say one other thing about the list?
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, you know, you should be complimented. That as Bob said at the beginning, the whole point about these lists is to start a discussion out. And as Mary said, too, it changes from day to day to day. You want, on any given day, something matters to you in your life. And these lists are, just by definition, fluid. You guys should be complimented for putting it down on paper and starting a discussion like this. And so all the ridicule that I'm going to heap on it is all in the in that spirit. You know, it's all with respect. Yeah.
Oh, I totally understand. I've enjoyed, I mean, there's been some vitriol about people's favorite songwriters getting left off. And I've just enjoyed it all because people are talking about, you know, songs are real substance. And that's a nice thing.
I was wondering what the biggest surprise was for anyone who's looked at this list. For me, it was seeing someone who I like a lot, Tom Waits, at number four. I wouldn't have even imagined him to be in the top 30, frankly. But then again, the producer of All Songs Considered, Robin Hilton, would have probably put him at one or two. So,
Yeah, and when you ask music critics, you know, you're going to get a very different answer than, you know, just.
But you polled your listeners. You polled your listeners. You had 18,000 people write in, didn't you? And Tom Waits was somewhere in there. He was not.
Yeah, and I think that was really fun to see. Tom Waits was number 9 among our 18,000 listeners. That even readers of the magazine, are paying attention. I was really thrilled to see our readers list.
I was happy to see Alejandro Escovedo on the list. I personally would rank him a lot higher than the mid-90s, but he's, I think, an American treasure, and it's great to see him there. I was really surprised at Lyle Lovett. I think Lyle Lovett's a pantheonic songwriter, but he came in at 87.
Mary, you're looking at this list.
Yeah, I'm looking at Julie Miller, but where's Buddy Miller?
He just missed the list. They're both great songwriters.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see Julie, and I'm missing Buddy.
Name me some songs of Julie Miller, please.
All My Tears, that was covered by Emmylou Harris.
Okay.
Orphan Train is a great song. And then she's got stuff that she's done with Buddy, like I Need You, that's got a little bit more of a bite to it. Does My Ring Burn Your Finger?
I was happy to see Public Enemy on the list. I thought that was a pretty nice... it was nice that you went out of your way to explain that when you have basically this crazy guy, Chuck D, in front, and then basically what are sound collages working behind him and creating an enormously powerful rhythm and backing track made up almost exclusively of found sound, which is kind of cool. You know, if I were... adding an addendum, you could mention people like Missy and Timbaland who do amazing rap constructions like that. Dr. Dre, of course, puts together amazing things, even if the subject matter is a little sociopathic. And, I think we got to give a shout-out to that guy, Speech. Remember, he was in Arrested Development, who I think is going to go down as one of the major one-hit wonders of history. But that's a very nicely written record and has several very powerful, unusual songs on it.
I was wondering about a song that changed any of our lives. And to me, that's often the mark of of a really great song. And I bet if you look at this, especially this top 15 or 20, it wouldn't be hard to say that they each wrote a song that changed somebody's life. Josh, for you, a song that changed your life?
I think the song that I've gone to just in every moment of need and every sort of when life is at its most emotional is a Leonard Cohen song, Hallelujah. I usually go to Jeff Buckley's version of it. I'm much more of a fan of Leonard Cohen's writing than I am of him as a performer. But there's something about that song. It's just a very kind of open to interpretation, just beautiful moment that it's a nice place to retreat to and sort of the tougher times.
Great. Let's hear Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled.
Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. Let's go to Mary Gaucher. Mary, is there something, a song that maybe made you want to pick up the guitar?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I was a lost kid and hanging around the bars as a profession, I would play this song John Prine wrote called Sam Stone. And at that time, there's lots of vets coming back from Vietnam. And Sam Stone would make a 300-pound biker named Grizzly cry.
Yeah.
And he'd cry and wipe his tears away, and he'd say, play it again. And then I'd play it again, and he'd cry and wipe his tears away and say, play it again. And there's just something about Sam Stone that taught me how to be a songwriter in a way that no other song did. It showed me the power of what words and music can do to the toughest of the human race.
There's a line in that song that in different parts of my life I've sung in my head in different ways. Is it, little pictures have big ears, or is it little pitchers have big ears?
It's little pitchers, and I have no idea what it means, but it's a Southern saying. I think it means that be quiet when the kids are around because they're going to hear you. if you're saying something that you don't want the kids to hear, then you best not say it if they're in the house. I think that's what it means.
And,
the line that slays me is there's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose.
Sam Stone came home to his wife and family after serving in the conflict overseas. And the time that he served had shattered all his nerves and left a little shrapnel in his knee. But the morphine eased the pain, and the grass grew around his brain and gave him all the confidence he lacked. With a purple heart and a monkey on his back, there's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios.
Great songwriter. He came in at number 30. And for you, Bill Wyman?
You know, it's so funny because so many songs change your lives, right? Every day there's a song that changed your life. And, you know, I think back hearing the Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK was a big deal for me. When I always sort of liked Bob Dylan, but I remember on Blood on the Tracks when I first listened to that, Tangled Up in Blue. But what I also remember is the very first time I ever listened to pop radio and some of those silly songs I heard, Horse with No Name, Jungle Fever, an Al Green song, I Gotcha by Joe Text. And the one that I never will forget was going to sixth grade, I think, on a school bus or something, and we had radios or something, and Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. That was a top 40 hit.
What a strange top 40 hit.
And it had that beautiful sax break in it, It was so lulling and sympathetic and easy. And it's hard right now to think all these, you know, prepubescent kids listening to a song like that, but we had no idea what it made. And it's one of the most unlikeliest big hit songs in the history of pop music. So, and I have to say, I've never, ever forgotten hearing that for the first time.
Well, let's listen to Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side.
Holly came from Miami, FLA, hitchhiked her way across USA, plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was given head. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go, doo 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 doo.
Your turn again, Bob.
Oh, gosh. The thing is that the songs that changed my life, the artists aren't on here. And Bill, you said Anarchy in the UK. For me, that Sex Pistols records and that Ramones record was, for me, what got me to quit my job, sell my car, and start playing music. Uh-huh. And none of those are on there. And so if I were to probably pick one, I'd probably pick a Sex Pistols tune.
I wanna destroy
Josh, should Sex Pistols have been on the list? Was it because Sid Vicious is dead or something? Because all the Ramones are basically have died.
I don't know if Sex Pistols. I mean, I don't know if they'd have made my. I mean, they, you know, Anarchy in the UK, such an iconic song, but the Ramones certainly would have been on my list. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody.
So many great
can,
songs.
Take simpler ingredients and make such delicious music.
Well, I had listened to music for so much of my life at the point that record came out. I guess I was about my mid-20s. And I always thought, well, I can't make music because, I mean, you have to be really, really good. But what you really have to be is passionate. And that's what that mm-hmm. stuff taught me. And it taught me about that my whole life. And everything I do in my life is has come from that. So thank goodness for this music. I want to play something for everybody. It's a song Mary wrote. And it's one of those songs that makes you understand that somebody really understands the craft of writing songs. And I just love Mercy Now, the title track for your most recent record, Mary. And I'll just play a little bit here. And I just want you to talk to you as a songwriter about what it is to make a song like that and how it unfolds. This song opens as a flower to me, where you get a little picture of someone who needs some help, some mercy, but then it keeps going. So let's just listen to a bit of it.
My father could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor falling right slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. It won't be long. He won't be around. I love my father. He could use some mercy now. My brother could use a little mercy now. He's a stranger to freedom. He's shackled to his fear and his doubt. It's almost more than living will allow. I love my brother. He could use some mercy now.
Every time I get chills, Mary. Mary, you should... I think you should demand a recount, but you're too humble. You should be in the top 100 for sure, just for that song.
Well, I certainly think if we do this list again in 10 years, she will be.
Yeah. How do you write a song like that?
I don't. I hold the pen while God writes it. Comes through me, not from me, to be honest.
And when you started writing, did you understand the whole arc of the song when you began, or did you just find your way?
The craft part, actually, I think I stole it from Lucinda. She's got a song called "I'm Gonna Change the
Locks
Tracks
on Your Door."
On this, yep,
yeah, right.
Yep. It starts with the very tangible
right,
thing.
Exactly.
I'm gonna change the locks on this door, and then I'm gonna change the, and then it goes into these metaphysical things that you can't actually change.
Right.
And I think she probably stole it from. Yeah, I'm gonna change the tracks on this train, and the, I think she probably got it from an old bluesman, and it's just a technique it's a cinematography technique where you just take the camera and start backing it up and backing it up and backing it up. It becomes bigger as you go back, and you know, I definitely used the technique that I remember she used on that song when I was writing this song, because it just seemed like the right way to go. I do that a lot. This list is very. It's populated with people I steal from on a regular basis. It's very important. Without them, there'd be no me. That's for sure.
But there is the divine inspiration, as you call it, but there's also the craft. They're different things, but they work together. Could you describe that?
Yeah, they have to work together. They have to. If you want to communicate what the muse is telling you, you have to do it in a context that people can understand it.
Right.
And that's where the craft comes in.
And how did you learn the craft?
By listening to these people on this list over and over and over again.
Yeah. Can you understand someone like if you look at some old Bob Dylan songs? Well, like we played Like a Rolling Stone at the top, out of nowhere, some six-minute song in 1965 blaring over AM radios, talking about heaven knows what at times.
Yeah, it's a lightning strike, you know. Songwriters, they're hanging out of their window in Nashville right now with lightning conductors trying to trying to grab of that magic, you know. We're just looking for that magic. It's a thing that you cannot make happen. It happens or it doesn't happen, but you don't control it. You really don't.
Do you know when it hits you?
Most of the time, yeah, because I get the chills in my in my body, and my the hair on my arm stands up, and then I do my little victory dance.
Which is what?
Which is yes, 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 and I run around the table, and it's here, it's here, she's here, she's here. And then she goes away, and she may never come back, and that's such an amazing thing to know that she may never come back.
So what makes a great song, then, for as a listener, as someone who's listened to tunes, for any of you?
I like songs that make you think, that have different layers. You're familiar with it for a long time, and then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you go, oh, my God, I didn't even realize that's what it's about. And then a few years later, as you get older, you start understanding some of the nuances that particularly older people have understood that you never got a chance to really appreciate because you were too young and stupid originally. And, you know, so being from the punk generation, I have that sort of reflexive punk thing like, oh, Mick Jagger's an idiot, Rod Stewart's an idiot, et cetera. But then over the years, you go back and listen to certain Rod Stewart songs, you think, wow, he understood certain things that you look at him, you go, as someone famously said about Rod Stewart, I can't believe he understands that. You know? So that's one thing I give people credit for. You know, you go back, okay, well, there was something there. And, of course, Dylan is the king of them all in instances like that. And my favorite thing in a Bob Dylan song right now is in Desolation Row, which is a 94-minute song from one of those records, right? And in the middle of it, he goes, there's a guy down there playing you would not know this, but he was famous long ago for playing electric violin on Desolation Row, right? And I wrote about him once. I said, you know, you could see Bob Dylan today and have a young kid with you and say, you would not think to look at him, but he was famous long ago for playing electric violin. And Desolation Row, I think, in Dylan's mind is fame and how crazy his life was at the time. And it's just funny how he could write that in there, being inside this cocoon, and has this enormous resonance literally 40 years later.
A great song taps into something universal that we all know, but we don't know that we know it until the artist points to it, and we go, yes, it's that shock of recognition. That big, oh my God, yes, 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 that's what I think, that's what I feel, that's what I hear, that's just amazing that you found that, you know. I knew that, but I just didn't get to it before you did. You said it first.
Yeah, Paul Simon does that for me a lot.
Yeah, I was just about to say, in our upcoming issue, we have an interview with Paul Simon, and he was just talking about how, you know, there's that need to not feel alone, not feel like what you think and feel inside is unique to you, and the great songs can do that for you. They can
builds bridges from spirit to human spirit to human spirit.
There's two, you know, huge parts of songwriting. There's the lyrics and there's the music, and you look through this list and there's people I think who are better at one than the other, and I think a great song is when they just fit the emotions and the undercurrent, the sort of secondary conversation going on in the music, just as a compliment to lyrics that are going to stick with you and mean something to you and change you and touch you.
And hold up over time. That's hard to do. Because it's easy to get lost in whatever the trend is at the moment as a songwriter. Ray Davies has said he did that, where a lot of his songs... He wouldn't have written the same way if he wasn't part of this British invasion, you know, for example. The subject matter still holds for you.
Another thing I think the list is going to be interesting to look at in several years down the road, someone like Stephen Malkmus, who is a very unusual songwriter, is kind of doing a lot of hip, reverse, sarcastic, double meaning or triple meaning and odd references, again, Public Enemy, someone like Sufjan and some of these others who are pretty unusual, bring some unusual tools to the songwriting, whether in 20 and 30 and 40 years, Chuck D will still have as high a reputation, and someone like the Pavement Boys as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure, everybody should take a look and read the article. In each of these 100 artists, there's a blurb about each artist and some really smart writing about each of the artists, suggestions on songs to listen to if you don't know the artists, because there are artists I didn't know on this top 100 list. Mary Gaucher in Nashville, Tennessee, thank you so much for doing this. This is great.
Oh, it's a wonderful discussion. Thanks for letting me in on it.
My pleasure. And Josh Jackson, thanks so much for putting this list. It's a thankless task, and you did a great job.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
Bill Wyman, sitting next to me here, an inspiration. And,
well, thank you very much. This is a great talk, and it was an honor to be here with Mary Gaucher and Josh Jackson as well.
And we'll go out on this. I'm Bob Boylan. It's NPR's All Songs Considered.
DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rockin' pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. I caught the rolling off the rider sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they rockin' in two by two. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up, just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another, roll over Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues.
Thanks for listening. You'll find more about this program and a listing of NPR stations online at npr.org.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the Acura RL with super handling all-wheel drive. Information at acura.com.